It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Kreshap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Kreshap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Kreshap. The President's Cup will stay in the hands of the United States as they won 18.5 to 11.5 over the international team. The United States team got off to a great start on Sunday. Xander Schauffele defeated Jason Day 4-3, and that just led to the rout. Team USA featured Xander Schauffele, Sam Burns, Scottie Scheffler, Russell Henley, Patrick Cantlay, Keegan Bradley, Tony Finau, Wyndham Clark, Sahith Theegala, Colin Morikawa, Brian Harman, and Max Homa, with Captain Jim Furyk leading the way. They win the President's Cup at the Royal Montreal Golf Club in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. I'll have more on the President's Cup in our next episode. Coming up on this week's episode, I sit down with Arkansas State Golf Association Hall of Famer and multi-time designated tournament champion, Chris Jenkins. That's coming up after the break. Stay with us.
This is Justin Acri. If you have hip or knee pain, it's time to see the experts at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. I've known Dr. Lowry Barnes for years, and he is a Hall of Fame surgeon who has operated on many Hall of Famers like Terry Bradshaw and Sidney Moncrief. He refers to Dr. Jeff Stambo and Dr. Ben Stronach as the best joint surgeons in Arkansas, and they all work at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. Call 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment. That's 501-686-8674.
Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group is the leader in the state in managing hotel properties. From El Dorado to Jonesboro to Fayetteville to Kansas City and back home in Little Rock, you will find a Beachwood Pinnacle managed hotel property. Are you looking for a weekend staycation? Book the Hilton Garden Inn located on Rock Street and enjoy the Agassiz 7 rooftop bar with fantastic views of the Little Rock skyline. Open Sunday through Thursday evenings from 4 to 11 and Friday and Saturday from 5 to midnight. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Did you know they are dedicated to keeping you in the game? That's right. From sports injuries to joint replacement, UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, they provide world-class care right here in Arkansas. Call 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today and get back to living pain-free. That's 501-686-8674. The Jenkins name and golf go hand in hand in the state of Arkansas. And Chris Jenkins, being the youngest brother, always had to try and battle against his older brothers. That is, when they let him play. They did let him play, and he has had a decorated amateur career inside the state of Arkansas. On the tee, Chris Jenkins.
Chris, thanks for joining me on From the Shortgrass. Do you remember, coming from a golfing family, do you remember the first time you ever picked up a club?
I remember one of the first times I ever picked up a golf club and actually played. We always chipped around the backyard a little bit when I was probably 7, 8 years old. I had three brothers that were quite a bit older than me and played golf and stayed in that world, you know, for the rest of their lives. But I remember being at Rock Creek playing golf with my brother Tim, who's the closest to me in age. He's 7.5 years older. He's a golf pro at Country Club Arkansas. I remember playing at Rock Creek, teeing off on number one. At this time, I was probably 9 years old, and I still couldn't get it off the ground. I'd never gotten a ball in the air. And I guess we had maybe hit some balls on a range or something before that and helped me determine that. But I remember getting the first shot on the second hole up in the air, and I just thought this is the greatest thing ever. Because everything before that, everything was just a dribble down the fairway.
Well, some people say that you're the greatest chipper they've ever seen around Bermuda Greens. So I guess the fact that it took you a while to get the ball off the ground, maybe that helped?
Well, Bermuda was, maybe so. Certainly Bermuda was a help, because all the courses I played were all the public golf courses around Central Arkansas, Little Rock mainly, like Resman and Warmoral and Hanneman. The fact that I missed all the greens forever is really the main thing. I didn't hit the ball very well when I was younger, and so I missed a lot of greens. And so I got to chip a lot.
Well, back then, I mean, Rebsman Park, before the redo, those were tiny greens. So I can see how you miss some of those. And then you get out to War Memorial or the park. Those were small greens as well.
Yeah, and it was all of those, typically you couldn't fly it you couldn't fly a ball back in the olden days onto those greens. At least I couldn't, because I didn't hit it high enough with enough spin to keep it on a green. But even the older guys that hit full shots, we learned by playing bump and run shots at War Memorial and at Rebsman and at Hanneman. And those greens, typically the old school, it was a little bit flatter in the front and it rose to the back of the green. Mm-hmm. So you were able to run it up a little bit onto those greens. And that's how I learned how to play.
What do you remember about playing with your father and then obviously your brother Tim, but also Rick and Bruce before his untimely death?
Right. We were a baseball family mostly. So the summertime, back in the, when I was young, you had seasons for sports. So you had golf and baseball season, and they kind of intermixed a little bit because they both happened in the summer. Then you had your basketball, then you had football. You know, everybody had their time of year, and you could be a multi-sport athlete back in the day. And we did that. We played a lot of baseball. We played basketball when the weather got cold. We weren't football players because we just weren't tough enough for that. But golf was something that we could play a little bit more throughout the year. So we gravitated toward that. And all of us ultimately gravitated toward that as something that we were going to do long term.
Mm-hmm.
Dad was a really good golfer, probably at his best. He probably got down to a one or two handicap. He played a lot of the ASGA events as I was growing up. I played a lot of golf with him. He was extremely competitive, extremely uber competitive at everything he did, but especially at golf. And so we all got that aspect from him as well. We tried pretty hard all the time. We liked to compete. I played a lot of golf with him and enjoyed that, learned the game from him a lot. He loved the search. He looked for the perfect golf swing. He was always trying to find the way to shoot the best score he possibly could, and we all got that aspect from him as well. The brothers, I didn't play a lot with the brothers growing up. I played with Bruce. He passed away after his sophomore year at Fayetteville. And really, because he was about 8.5 years older than I was, I didn't play a lot of golf with him. I remember maybe 2 or 3 rounds of actual golf that I played with him down at Resmond. I probably played more golf with my brother Tim than anybody, but even Rick, the oldest brother, played a little bit with him as well. And, I learned the game from them just as much as just by watching. They were older. They knew how to play. I watched them compete before I ever started doing it. And I learned the game. We didn't go through a lot of lessons or anything like that, but I just kind of picked it up from them.
And it wasn't like older brother beating up on younger brother. It was, hey, here's what you need to do. And you took it to heart.
Yeah, I think they were real supportive of me. Again, big age difference there. So I think they were really looking at a little brother. They might have competed with themselves a little bit more than they would with me. But there came a time when I got older and I was I could look them eye to eye that we had some competitive times. but really in my young years, they were really helpful.
And you still get to have some competitive times when it comes to the Arkansas amateurs against the PGA professionals in the state. And
yeah.
The Randy Beaver Cup.
Absolutely. That's the funnest event in the year for me. Now my brothers don't play in that much anymore. They've gotten older and their games have not stayed intact as well as they probably want to. But they're still involved with the PGA program, but they don't play as much as they used to and have some physical issues. But we played in that Beaver Cup for years, and they were always on the other side of the match for me. And we typically tried to avoid each other as much as we could, because I didn't want to go and beat them, and I sure as heck didn't want them to try to beat me. So we did have some lively matches in the four balls and things, and those were some of my best memories of the Beaver Cup.
I remember walking the halls of Little Rock Parkview and seeing the tributes to Bruce and everything, and what I've heard about him was phenomenal golfer, probably one of the best ever around.
Yeah.
And his untimely death, though, I mean, what was that time like for you?
Well, I was 11, I guess, at the time, and or was going to be 11. Maybe I was 10 and a half at the time. He died in June back in 81, maybe. He was, I think he was considered kind of an extraordinary talent at the time in the golf world. I knew him, honestly, more in baseball. He was an extremely good baseball player. And although he was a little slow of foot, he was a great hitter, great baseball mind. He was an outstanding pitcher. And he got drafted by the Cardinals. So he had the option, instead of going to Fayetteville, where he played golf for 2 years, back when they were in the Southwest Conference, he had the chance to go and play professional baseball in the Cardinals organization. He decided not to do that, to go
really
play golf and go get an education. But he was that good. I mean, he was a phenomenal baseball player, and I was the bat boy for those teams back then because Tim was on that team as well, and Tim was a great player too, and baseball player. And both of them could have done more with that, but they decided to go into the golf world, and that was the right move long term, certainly for them. But as far as a golfer goes, again, I had only played with him a little bit. I've heard more stories from other guys, older guys, that played with Bruce. And Bruce was a world class ball striker. He was had a great short game. He was just really, really good, hit it a long way. And I think that, you know, based on what everybody else has said, that he would have certainly been a PGA Tour type of player. I don't know long term how successful he would have been. Back then you didn't have all the mini tours back in those days. So it was kind of an all or nothing deal, but he was good enough to go play professional golf and would have been there to some degree if things were different.
What was that time like around the Jenkins household?
That was a tough time. I mean, you know, I was young, and I didn't, you know, you think when you're 11, you're old enough to really know your family that much. And I was around my mom and dad more than everybody else. But when I was getting old enough to know what was going on, the brothers were moving out. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it was, you know, Rick had moved out of the house, you know, several years before, and Bruce was going to school. Tim was going to school at various things and had, you know, moved out as well. We grew up in a house that was about 1,400 square feet, so there were six of us together, and we had one shower in the place, and it was we were together. We ate a lot of dinners together and so forth, but I never really got to know them that well because they were quite a bit older than I was, and they were associated with each other quite a bit with their friends than I had mine. So, and I was with my mom and dad a lot more probably than they were. When Bruce passed in the summer of 81, it was a challenging time. I could see it in the family, even more so than I could feel it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, everybody goes through losses in their life, and as we get older, we have a lot more of those. And it's just something that it's a bonding thing for families and friends because we all go through the same life cycles. That one was especially difficult. I didn't know anybody that had lost a sibling. I probably didn't have to handle it the way my older brothers did, or my parents especially. I couldn't imagine. You know, if I lost a child, I couldn't imagine.
Sure, tough.
I couldn't imagine how that would affect your life. But we survived it okay. You know, it was a tough time there for a while. But we've always been the family's been pretty close. You know, we're a Christian family. You know, it worked out.
When did you first decide I want to try and play golf competitively? Was it in junior high school, high school?
Well,
when was it?
Yeah, I remember exactly when it was. I loved playing golf when I was 11 and 12, and I was pretty good at it at the time. Again, I was short game was pretty good, never hit the ball very far.
Short game's always been good.
Well, I was small. I was never a big guy, and I didn't have a lot of strength. And really, I didn't. I just matured later. I mean, it was literally probably ninth or 10th grade that I started maturing. And so before that, I was smaller than most people, didn't hit it very far, and again, wasn't all that accurate. And I love playing baseball. I mean, baseball was my passion. I watched my brothers play. It was a team aspect, which I always liked. And I remember when I was 13 years old, I was playing center field, and we were playing, you know, we were a competitive 13-year-old team. And I remember playing center field, letting a ball go through my legs to the fence one time. We ended up losing the game by a run. Had allowed two runs in, and I just was mortified by that experience. I had always been a really good fielder and a pretty good baseball player, but I don't know, the aspect of letting my team down, you know, with one of these untimely errors, it just kind of solidified my route to individual golf.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was during that time. I just remember that specifically as a catalyst for me wanting to play golf more full time. And I probably was looking for a reason anyway, because the baseball was never going to take me to play. I wasn't going to play that in college. I wasn't going to be a professional baseball player as much as I wanted to. I could see that probably wasn't in the cards. So that was when I really started playing golf, was when I was really 13. You know, I played a lot in junior golf during the summer, 11 and 12, but I really started playing a lot year round when I was 13 and 14. And that's from there, I just kept doing it. That's all I did.
In college, obviously.
I played Arkansas State. Yeah, sure did. Played for 4 years up there and had an excellent time. Made some great friends up there. And when I got out of school, I didn't really know what I was going to do. I wasn't going to be good enough. Again, I still wasn't when I was 21, 22, 23. I wasn't a good enough ball striker to go play professional golf successfully. I feel like I probably could have gone to a mini tour and played and just beat my head against the wall. But I was also not a traveling golfer. I guess I was bred to be kind of a homebody to stay around my family and so forth. And that, to go and live the life of a professional golfer out of a hotel, driving to these place to place or whatever, and being by yourself in a hotel room, I just couldn't imagine a less appealing experience. And so I just never went that way. So when I was getting out of college and looking for something to do work-wise, I was really planning at that point to play amateur golf for a long time. And the guys that I looked up to back then, the guys like the Lees or Wynn Norwood or Bev Hargreaves, these guys were in the insurance business. And so I went to the insurance business with the thought that, well, gosh, if these guys get to play some golf, maybe that's the business I need to go into.
So yeah.
That's what it is.
And it seemed like it worked out.
Well, yeah, except that I guess it did. It gave me the flexibility to be able to go and play some golf that other people probably can't. So right. I could play on more occasions. But as you get older and you have more business, you have less and less time to play. I didn't factor that in. So
the Arkansas State Golf Association. You've been a longtime board member, past president. You're in the Arkansas Golf Hall of Fame. What does that mean to you?
Probably more than just about any other relationship that I have outside of my family has been the relationship I've had with the ASJ. It's been a big part of my life because golf has been such a big part of my life. I'm not a big fisherman. I'm not a big hunter. I don't play other sports necessarily other than something like, you know, pickleball. But golf has kind of always been what defined me for myself and for other people. The ASJ has provided a landscape for that, for me to be able to go and play golf, competitively for a long period of time. I've made the absolute best friends that I have in the world on the golf course, for the most part. They still are my friends today. I just enjoy it immensely. And again, the ASJ had a lot to do with that. I've been involved with the ASJ board since, I think, 1994. And again, wonderful people, great organization. It's had great leadership. You know, guys like Jay Fox had been executive director for 33 years. I mean, great friend of mine. He just, you know, people like that have been in charge of the workings of the ASJ have just really been good friends and associates of mine, and just really look forward to being involved with those guys over the years. Same with the new people that have come in. A lot of vibrant, you know, just a lot of good vibes that we have. You know, there is a lot of youth there, and it's probably something that I need because I'm getting old. But the people that have been in charge of the ASJ have always done a really good job of running golf tournaments, of providing a field for us to go and compete on for, you know, 7 or 8 months out of the year, maybe even more than that. You know, if you take into account the fall events like the Beaver Cup, we get to play most of the year competitively, and it's just a wonderful thing that not all states have. We've had that for a long time.
Some call you Mr. 4th of July. And unfortunately, that tournament is no longer here thanks to what the mayor decided to do when he shut down War Memorial in the Park Golf Course, as we called it. I think Tracy Harris coined the phrase TPC War Memorial.
The Royal and Ancient
for that golf course. Mm-hmm. But you hold the title of the most victories out there. What does that mean?
Well, it was a big deal to me. I grew up playing the public golf courses, and that's where I was bred there. I played Resmond more than I played War Memorial, but played War Memorial quite a bit. I remember going out there when we were in our junior days, when we were, you know, 10, 11, 12, parents would drop us off. We play for a quarter, you know, have to be off by noon. But we would go out there. We could play 36 holes, you know, from 8 to 12 back then, walk and carry in a bag, play for a quarter. They welcomed us out there. You know, all these juniors, great junior programs at Resmond, and it spilled over to the other public golf courses. Playing War Memorial as I aged, that was one of those tournaments that was inexpensive to play in. It happened at a good time of year. I always wanted to go and play, and I was pretty good around the green, so it was a place I had some early success. And it used to be outside of maybe the state amateur at the time. It was the field was probably larger there than anywhere else. Monmouth Classic was pretty close to that when it got going. And so that was always – it was always a huge deal where people would tee off between 8 o'clock and like 3 o'clock. I mean, they had huge fields. But you could still play the place, still get done at dark even if you teed off at 3, you know, get done by 6:30. It was just a wonderful place to go and play a quicker round of golf, and it was fun. It was a different type of golf. I loved it. I played pretty well there, had a lot of great, you know, a lot of great memories and things, and I miss it. I miss being able to go out there and play in 2 hours, 2.5 hours in an evening sometime. And I think the city of Little Rock probably misses it too, because they're just not, other than going to a driving range and hitting some balls, you know, you can't really go anywhere and play in 2.5 or 3 hours. It's typically a 4 or 5 hour round deal. And, I kind of miss that part of it too.
I remember one year, I think I shot 63 in the first round and 59 in the second round. And I look up on the scoreboard and I might have been leading. I might have been tied with you or something. I don't remember. But that last day, it just fell apart for me. And here you come, and I think you might have birdied like the last four holes coming in or something, but and won again. But that's something that you could do out there. I mean, yeah, you could shoot a really low score because there were several par fours that you could potentially drive, like 7, 8, 10. But then there were some holes like one that if you don't get off to a good start, it can derail your round immediately.
Yeah, they're number one and two, especially back, 20 years ago when number one was really a brutal hole. It got a lot softer toward the end there when they made the big, it kind of made the green a big catcher's mitt. But one and two used to be the two hardest holes ever to start off. One, because you didn't have a driving range out there, so you're going out there cold.
Or you go somewhere and hit balls like down at the old Arnold Palmer, you get in your car and drive 10 minutes to
the
course.
Sure, and then you get out there, wait to tee off. Yeah, I mean, it was not a good circumstance, but we would go one and two. I mean, people's tournaments were derailed on one and two the first day just because you go out there and start double, triple, and anyway, but at that place, you could get it back. I mean, there were birdie holes out there. It's just the you either like playing there or you didn't. Because you could go out there and just tear it up. You could make a lot of birdies if you knew where to hit it, where to leave the ball, and you could putt from inside 5 feet pretty well. But the greens were always fairly diabolical. There was a lot of grain out there, and if you didn't know what you were doing, it would just short your mind out. You wanted to go to an insane asylum when you left there. I grew up kind of playing there. I was comfortable with it, so I was able to win 10 times out there, and it was only because I had a home course advantage over most of the people that played there.
I know you talked earlier about some of your friends that you've met through the game of golf and obviously the ASGA. One of them, good friend of mine too, Wes McNulty. Mm-hmm. You guys have partnered up many a times in four balls and what have you. What is that relationship like between you two?
Well, Wes and I Wes was a really good athlete back when and played a lot of good baseball, and I didn't know him back then. And even when he played golf, In the early mid 90s, he played professional golf for quite a while and chased that for a bit. And I didn't know him back then. I played with him once or twice. I mean, I knew who he was. He probably knew who I was. But we just our timing when I started playing golf quite a bit in the late 90s, he was stopping playing his professional golf, and he had a span there a few years where he didn't play a whole lot. And I was he gives me credit for getting him back in the game because he was really he was not playing at all. And I remember he got his amateur status back in 04, 05, somewhere in there. He remembers it. I don't remember it. But I said, hey, I ran into him at a little gambling game we had at Country Club Arkansas one time. I said, why don't you just get your amateur status back and start playing some golf? And he did that the next year. We went and played in the state four ball the next year, and we won at Resmond. We birdied like 5 of the last 7 holes, and we won the tournament by a shot. And that would just kind of start us. That kind of started up our
competitive
our
edge.
It started our deal, and we've become just fast friends. And he's just—I just thank the world. He's just one of the nicest people on the planet. Very competitive guy too, although he won't admit to it. And he's probably, during the 20 years I've been playing with him, he's probably the best driver of the golf ball that I've ever seen. And maybe fairway wood long iron player. He just hits those things so straight and so high. He has an enormous advantage at various times, and his game travels very well because he drives it so well.
You've been able to play all over. Best golf course Chris Jenkins has ever played?
Well, I think probably TPC for me was one of the most fun golf courses I've ever played. I've been lucky to play.
When you say TPC,
Sawgrass.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, it should have
been more. Because there are several of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of those. But
yeah,
the Sawgrass was probably, I thought, maybe the most fun of the big name golf courses.
Pete Dye course.
Yeah, and it was wonderful. I thought it was very fair, very gettable type place. But it could break your back too if you weren't hitting it very well, like all good golf courses. I've been blessed to play in a bunch of USJ type events, and all those things are. Every one of those things are good. The Stanwich up in Connecticut was a great play. Hazeltine up in Minnesota was fabulous. You know, I don't know that I have one specifically that's just the best golf course I've ever played. I've never, and this seems odd because I know a lot of people want to play the great, wonderful golf courses, and I do. I would love to play Augusta. I've never played it. I've never played Pebble Beach. Those are two things I need to go play before my time's up, but you know, maybe St. Andrews. Outside of that, I've just always liked going and playing a golf course and competing. You know, and it doesn't have to be with other people. It's really just with me. Golf for me has never been necessarily about winning and losing. It's how I performed. If I played well, I was pretty content and pretty happy. If I didn't, even if I won, it's not very satisfying. So the locations that I ended up playing weren't nearly as important to me as the people I was playing with or the competition I had with myself during that event.
With that said, fantasy foursome, living or deceased, and I'll give you a fivesome since you're your father and then your four brothers, or three brothers and you, if you wanted to include them, or if you wanted to go opposite and, you know, anybody else that you wanted to pull in and it would be a foursome with you, who would it be?
Fantasy foursome. It wouldn't be much of a fantasy for me to say I'd like to play with my dad and my three brothers, you know, in a fivesome, but that would be a fun deal because I don't think we ever did it. I think that would be a cool day. If I'm thinking about the fantasy foursome to play golf with, I would probably pull from the great golfers. Jack Nicklaus would be number one. You know, somebody, I don't know that I'd enjoy playing with Ben Hogan. It may be Lee Trevino. I've always liked Lee Trevino. And honestly, I would have picked Phil before he defected to the LIV, which I'm not a giant fan of, at least not yet. I always liked Phil. I always rooted for Phil. I don't know that I would put Tiger in there necessarily, but I'd probably pull somebody else out of there of the greats. You know, whether it was maybe a Sam Snead, maybe Gene Sarazen. You know, one of the old school guys. Yeah. Bobby Jones. I don't know. If I had to put it down on a piece of paper, I'd come up with four names, but it would probably be a mix of the historically great golfers or personalities. Arnold Palmer might be in there too. And that's who I'd probably want to play with. I don't know that I would have other celebrities. I'd want to play with golfers. Maybe Trey Schaap.
You don't want to play with me. Yeah. We've played before.
Oh, a lot.
So see,
a
you
lot.
Don't have to.
You're an outstanding player. I don't.
Well, but we don't have to play any game.
That's
because
true. You're still alive, and I can still play with you.
Chris, thanks for the time.
Trey, appreciate it very much.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
Hello, this is Justin Akery. When you think about total joint replacement, you should think of the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. This great new facility has the three best total joint surgeons in the state with Lowry Barnes, Jeff Stambo, and Ben Stronach. Why would you consider going anywhere else? Folks come to UAMS Health from around the country to have their joints replaced. You should too. Call 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
Welcome back to From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I want to thank Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group for their sponsorship of From the Shortgrass, Matthew Allen and Blair Allen. They know hotel management. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure it's one of their hotels. Find them on the web, bphotels.com. Don't forget, tickets are on sale for the Simmons Bank Championship presented by Stevens. Go to their website, simmonsbankchampionship.com, for more information. That's all the time for this episode. When you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shortgrass.
You have been listening to From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.